It's 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV. I'm Derek Gilbert with five things you need to know for Tuesday, September 17th, 2024. Item number five on the agenda today, the would-be Trump shooter, Ryan Wesley Routh. As I said yesterday, his since-scrubbed social media accounts seem to indicate that he is not all there. And this appears to be confirmed now by a journalist who's come forward to say that she interviewed him last year and said it was obvious that he was, in her words, crazy. Tanya Lukyanova interviewed the 58-year-old Routh for an article for the online news site Semaphore on American-trained Afghan commandos who wanted to fight in Ukraine. Get that chain there. Afghans who wanted to get out of Afghanistan because the Taliban had taken over following the U.S. withdrawal, trained by Americans who were willing to go to Ukraine and fight Russians. And this gentleman was telling reporters, including reporters from Newsweek and other, and the New York Times, that he was coordinating this effort. Routh had started a group called the International Volunteer Center, which was helping foreigners looking to help with the war effort in Ukraine. Speaking with the Free Press, Lukyanova said, quote, "You can tell right away that he's crazy, but I think people thought, who cares? He's supporting the right cause," end quote. Routh told her he was frustrated with the Ukrainian government, said they were being too rigid about admitting foreign soldiers, that they were afraid that every foreigner who came in was a Russian spy. Routh said he'd spent 5 months in Ukraine working on his center, had been trying to find accommodations in Pakistan for those Afghans to transfer them from Afghanistan to Ukraine. Lukyanova compared him to the Brad Pitt character in the 2008 movie Burn After Reading, Coen Brothers movie. In that film, Pitt played a dim-witted personal trainer who stumbled onto some information and tried to use it to blackmail a CIA analyst. Wound up dead. Well, Routh, not dead, but he's in federal custody now after being caught camping out on Trump's golf course for 12 hours with an AK-47, apparently wanting to take a shot at the former president. Topic number four, political jujitsu. This is a bizarre story. A little-known Republican super PAC, that's Political Action Committee, called Future Coalition, is running ads highlighting Kamala Harris's support for Israel, such as it is. Quote, "Vice President Harris has chosen a side, the right side," the narrator says, going on to add, "Harris has made herself clear she stands with Israel and the Jewish people," end quote. Another ad points out that Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, would be the first Jewish presidential spouse ever, and that Harris and Emhoff are making history, standing up for what's right, supporting Israel. Well, a lot of liberals are not happy about these ads, and the New York Times is actually characterizing them as anti-Semitic. Now, if you're not clear on how ads that are pro-Israel and touting Harris's support for Israel would be anti-Semitic, you need to understand that these ads are being run in the Detroit metropolitan area, which is the home of America's largest Arab population, about 200,000. And those Arabs do not like Israel. In other words, this little political jujitsu move may find some support among Jews who see it, but there aren't nearly as many Jews in and around Detroit. American Jews typically vote Democrat, as there are Arabs. This is intended to suppress the Democrat vote for Harris in Michigan. They're not likely to vote for Trump, but if they can just convince him to stay home, well, Trump can win Michigan, and that's an important swing state. So anyway, the ads are not anti-Semitic, but the people who are targeted by those ads are jujitsu. And again, left, the political left in the U.S. not happy about these ads. Topic number three, Israel. The Hamas lifeline appears to be all of that aid that is flowing into Gaza to keep the people alive there. According to Channel 12 in Israel reporting last week, Hamas has profited to the tune of about $500 million from the humanitarian aid being sent by the rest of the world, being facilitated by Israel, allowing it into the country. It's about 200 aid trucks per day entering the Gaza Strip, and that's keeping Hamas afloat. Hamas steals the aid and then turns around and sells it to the population. This is not what was intended by those who are gifting the aid to the Gaza Strip, but this is how Hamas is using it. It's taking the profits from the sale, the resale of this humanitarian aid, and using it to finance more terrorists. According to Channel 12, since the war began last October, 3,000 terrorists have been added to the Hamas payroll in northern Gaza, using the money from the sale of humanitarian aid. Although this estimated $500 million that Hamas has collected by the illegal resale of this aid was first reported in May of this year, the Israeli government treats the aid as proof of its positive conduct toward Gazan civilians. In other words, Israel is allowing it because it wants the publicity, the positive publicity, such as it is worldwide, figures that it's better off allowing Hamas to profit than the negative publicity Israel would get if it shut off all aid going into the Gaza Strip. Now, Israel has largely cut off a source of funding for Israel, or for Hamas, that is, by closing the Rafah border crossing, that Philadelphia corridor between Egypt and Gaza, which was being used to smuggle cash, weapons, men into Gaza from Egypt. But short of that, Hamas just taking the food that's coming into the Gaza Strip, turning around and reselling it, and again, using it to pay more fighters in the ongoing conflict. By the way, the Rafah battalion, according to Israel, has now been completely destroyed, which is some good news in this conflict. Topic number two, Saudi gold. An interesting development. I got a degree in economics, but I will not characterize myself by any means as an economics expert. The older I get, the more I realize it all boils down to the law of supply and demand. And when you realize that money is a commodity like anything else, bushels of wheat, pork bellies, whatever, inflation makes a lot more sense. The supply of money is what causes it, not producers raising prices. Anyway, watching what others who do know something about economics is doing with their money is always instructive, and it appears the central bank in Saudi Arabia has been quietly buying gold up to 160 tons, and that's metric tons, so 2,200 pounds per ton, T-O-N-N-E, as opposed to 2,000, since early 2022, which is helping fuel the ongoing bull market in gold. The Saudis played a key role in turning the U.S. dollar into the global standard, the de facto reserve currency of the world back in the early 1970s. And this time around, they may be helping bring it to an end by taking its surplus reserves and transforming them from U.S. dollars into physical gold. Ever since the West, specifically and especially the United States, froze Russia's dollar assets in February of 2022, those who may not see eye to eye with the U.S. on diplomacy are increasingly exchanging dollars for physical gold. The rally in the gold market began in late 2022, and the Saudis have been a consistent net importer of gold, which has helped boost the gold price. The gold coming from Switzerland has been going directly to the Saudi Central Bank, the Saudi Arabian Monetary Authority. Now, how much gold the Saudis own is unknown. The last time the Saudi Central Bank published its official gold reserves was in February of 2008. And the number that they put out is political. They don't want to show that they're transferring reserves from U.S. dollars to gold to avoid angering the United States government. But what's clear is that the Saudi Central Bank, following the lead of other central banks around the world, including that of China, storing more and more of its trade surplus in gold instead of dollars. Just something to be aware of going forward. Coming up, New York Times facing troubles, and we are slightly amused. That's ahead on 5 and 10.
We want to make sure you know how you can get your copy of this incredible new work in the Carl Gallup's Ultra Collection. When you order this amazing collection from the SkywatchTVStore.com, you'll receive the brand new book, Eyes to See. Is our world ready for the coming visitation by the legendary Pastor Carl Gallup's, where for the first time ever, you'll discover what the Israel link truly is and the gravitas prophetic significance it holds in the times we're living in right now. you will learn about the real-life supernatural encounter that will open your eyes to see the spiritual realm like never before. Eyes to See will make certain you are spiritually ready for the coming visitation. And it uncovers massive treasures of astonishing insight previously hidden in Scripture and revealed specifically for our day. You'll also receive the amazing books, The Summoning, Preparing for the Coming Days of Noah, and Glimpses of Glory by Pastor Carl Gallups that take you from the Garden of Eden to Jesus' glorious return, and a cosmic collision of biblical truth that explodes to life upon the tapestry of the mind and soul. For a very limited time while supplies last, you'll also receive The Summoning Companion DVD. Join Pastor Carl Gallups for this incredible, exclusive two-part sermon. From living without fear in the midst of our prophetic age, to the question surrounding what Jesus is telling his people through the prophecy of the fig tree and the return of Israel, this companion DVD is a must-have. These items hold a retail value of $85. Yours now for your donation of only $40, which includes free shipping to all U.S. orders. So don't delay. You can scan the QR code on your screen right now using the camera app on your phone for instant access to this special opportunity. You can also visit us at skywatchtvstore.com or call 1-844-750-4985 and ask for the Carl Gallups Ultra Collection.
Item number one today, the New York Times facing some labor troubles as we come into the election season. The Tech Guild, which is a union of about 600 members, mostly software engineers, separate from the actual newsroom, they voted overwhelmingly to authorize a potential strike right around the time of the election. Now, that would be bad timing because New York Times gets a real surge of traffic to its website around the election. You want to make sure that it's still online and running and that some things like, you know, the vote trackers and things like that are working the way they're supposed to. Well, here's what the tech team wants from management at the New York Times. They've proposed a ban on scented products in break rooms. Like to know the reason for that request. Unlimited break time and accommodations for pet bereavement, as well as mandatory trigger warnings in company meetings discussing events in the news. This is a news operation. You need a trigger warning to go to a meeting about the company business. Then perhaps you need to go home, lie down, and put a cold compress on your forehead because you're just in the wrong line of work. Then there's the illegal stuff. They want more money for non-white staff. That's just... You cannot do that in the United States. Language that would prioritize non-citizens in the U.S. on visas in the case of layoffs. The newspaper staff has pointed out, look, this can't be fulfilled because it violates employment laws. And then there's the ridiculous. The Tech Guild has put forward a number of proposals that management is just saying, no, we're not doing this. A four-day work week coupled with a significant increase in pay, full coverage of all health care premiums for employees and family members, guaranteed grants for all members of the unit, and non-performance-based annual bonuses, all of which the company estimates would cost over $100 million over 3 years. New York Times has already been struggling because the corporate media is essentially dying thanks to independent media that's actually reporting the news, doing actual journalism. The Tech Guild not really reading the room here. More money for less work and bonuses not tied to actually doing a good job. Good luck with that, and best of luck, best wishes on your next employment opportunity. Skywatch TV talking with Pastor Carl Gallups about his new book, Eyes to See. And we're talking about Into the Spirit Realm here. This is some just dynamite stuff. Of course, all of Carl's stuff is just very educational and eye-opening. Don't miss these programs. You always learn something talking to Carl. I know I do. And you can find the programs. This is the third in the series of four. You can catch them all at our website, skywatchtv.com. You can watch them over the air, our broadcast schedule posted at skywatchtv.com/ channels, Roku, Apple TV. If you've got a set-top box, install the SkyWatch TV channel there. You can also catch it over the internet, youtube.com/@SkyWatchTelevision or rumble.com/SkyWatchTV, or add our mobile app. It is free to your smartphone or tablet, whether it's iOS, Android, Amazon, Kindle Fire. We've got apps for all of those, and you can find the app store right for your device at our website, skywatchtv.com/app. 5 in 10 online. You'll find us at YouTube at 5 in 10 on X, formerly Twitter, at 5_in_10. And thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.